but it might be my favorite. I mean, there are lots of ways to get into the presence of God, but music might be my favorite. It might be my favorite. Might be my favorite. Joel, will you run in the back and grab the Bible box? You're going to need a Bible. While Joel is grabbing some Bibles, I want to tell you a quick story. Once upon a time, I started running. And when I did that, my wife said, "Have you lost your mind?" And the answer is yes, but I lost it long before I started running. It's a goofy story. We had a Gold's Gym in the town we used to live in. Anybody ever been to Gold's Gym? Five of you. Okay, so there's this thing called Gold's Gym, for those of you that don't know. And one of the things that Gold's Gym does, you might have figured it's a gym by, you know, the fact that it's called Gold's Gym. They do an annual challenge. It's like a before and after kind of thing where you take a picture of yourself and then you do the workout that they prescribe and you eat right and you get all healthy. And then you take another picture after yourself. And so my wife had decided to do the challenge and we had signed up for Gold's Gym. And I was sort of in shape at that point in my life. And I actually had a workout partner. And so I would go to the gym and I would do like the weights part first. And then so you do some weight, you lift some weights and stuff. And at the time I was actually in shape. But then after you were done lifting weights, you're supposed to do some cardio. And so I tried the bike and I hated it. Oh, heck no. The bike was just made me hurt. And then I tried that elliptical glider, and I sort of felt like a giraffe on that thing. Like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do on this, but it feels like I'm going to hurt myself, so I quit doing that. And so I started on a treadmill, and I remember I would run for a little while on the treadmill, and I thought, ooh, this is really cool. I mean, I have long legs. I can do this. By the way, I wore my running shoes tonight just for you guys. These are my fast shoes, Suzanne would say. There you go. They have the Nike iPod thing in them so that they link with my iPhone. But anyway, that's another story. That's another story. Different story. I'm bionic. When I run, it makes the sound. Dun, 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 dun. Ba, 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 ba. You guys are too young. So I would get on the treadmill and I would run for like 10 minutes and I was all proud of myself. And then I was talking to a coworker of mine who I knew was a pretty athletic guy, and I was telling him about how I was getting on the treadmill and I was working out and stuff. But I kept this like fat pouch right here, like a marsupial. And some of you, it's been too long since you're in elementary school. Marsupial is an animal with a, never mind. So I would, yes, there you go. Oh, the things that I didn't know. See, elementary school teacher schools me on marsupials. So I would run for like 15 minutes, and I was really proud of myself. And so I went to my friend Bob, and I said, "Bob, how come I'm still not losing?" And so I was just chit-chatting. "How come I'm not losing this weight?" And he goes, "Well, how long are you running?" And I said, "Like a mile and a half." He said, "Shut up. Tell me when you get to 10. I'm like, "Oh, dear heavens." Well, it took a while, but I actually did get there. I got to the place where I could run for 10 miles straight. It took about an hour and 40 minutes because I'm really a slow runner. But we had this gorgeous loop at where we used to live on this giant river, and the river was literally like 3/4 of a mile wide where we lived. So you run up one side of the river, go across the bridge, run down the other side of the river, go across the bridge, and back to where you started from. And it was 10 miles around this loop. And it was really beautiful, and I loved running there. Well, I remember one time I was running there, and I'm not joking, I'm not making this up, it was a 100-degree day. It was hot. And if you talk to anyone with like a half a brain and you say, "Should I go running today?" And they would all say, "Have you lost your mind?" This is why people start running at ungodly hours of the morning, like 5 a.m. or something before it gets hot. But you are the insane ones. So for me, hot day, no problem. I'm good. I've got a 16-ounce water bottle that goes on a belt that I stick back there, and that lasted for about 2 miles. So I'm running along, and it's hot. Turn to your neighbor and say, hot. That's good. That's a lot of H's. I appreciate how you guys picked up on that. It is hot. It is so hot. I mean, it is like cooking egg on the sidewalk hot. It is stinking hot. So I'm running upstream, and I get to the bridge, and there are zero places to stop on this side of the river. All the really nice parks and things are on the other side of the river. And I'm out. I'm like, and you want to curse right there, but you don't. You say, Jesus, help me. And you put your little empty water bottle back in your thing. And I cross to the other side, and I'm running along another about 2-3 miles till I get to the first bathroom. I was thirsty. 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 Turn with me to John chapter 4. Book of John chapter 4. Of course I am. Book of John. Book of John, page 738. Page 738, Book of John, chapter 4. The book of John, chapter 4. Chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Page 738, I am told. Page 738. Can you turn this bank off and the next bank on? I think that would be really helpful for people who are trying to read. Except for apparently these lights are broken. So God wants you to squint. I'm just teasing. He doesn't. Book of John. Book of, like, three people are listening. Patrick, three people are listening. Were you one of them? Okay, good. Yes. Book of John chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Here's what's going on. Jesus is doing some traveling. Everybody say traveling. I love when you mimic me. That makes me feel special inside. Jesus has been doing some traveling, and so we'll pick it up in the book of John chapter 4. The Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. When the Lord learned of this, the Lord being Jesus, I think we should just say Jesus because it's fun to say. Say Jesus, 1, 2, 3.
Jesus.
Yeah, that's very nice. Let's do it again, 1, 2, 3.
Jesus.
That's good. You guys are going to need, this is an ATF skill, just so you know. Other youth groups will say we're not cool if we don't know how to say Jesus. It's pretty much true, Patrick. You have to say it 40 times in a row. Well, that's not. Let's pick up verse 3. We're going to pick up verse 3. When the Lord learned of this, who's the Lord?
Jesus.
Very good. When Jesus learned of this, he left Judea and went back once more into Galilee. Okay, Judea is like a county. Okay, Judea is like a county, and so he's leaving one county, and he's headed to the other county, but there was no municipal bus when Jesus was alive, okay? You couldn't just go jump in your station wagon. Oh, you guys don't know what a station wagon is. You couldn't go jump in your minivan and roll across town. You actually had to walk. There was walking, or if you were rich, maybe you could ride a camel, but probably you were going to walk, or a donkey. But probably you're going to walk. So Jesus is walking. Verse 4, here we go. Verse 4. We got to get on with this. Hurry up. Here we go. Verse 4. Now, he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jacob's well. Say well.
Well.
Not that kind. It's the kind you draw water from. Okay, so verse 6. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. It's afternoon time. Verse 7, when the Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" See, Jesus was thirsty. Verse 8, his disciples had gone into town to buy food. Verse 9, and the Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Verse 10, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, then you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Say, living water.
Living water.
That just sounds good, doesn't it? Living water. I was thirsty. Verse 11, "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his flocks and herds?" And Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water, welling up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." And he told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. And Jesus said to her, "You are right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but the Jews claim that the place where we must worship is Jerusalem." And Jesus declared, "Believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth." Say it with me, in spirit and truth. 1, 2, 3. In spirit and truth. I have a slide that says that. There it is. In spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. Verse 24, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said, "I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I who speak to you am he." Let's pray real quick. Lord Jesus, help us to understand. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and give us a mind to comprehend. But more than all of that, help us, Lord, to unlock this in our spirits. Let us truly worship you in spirit and truth. And all of God's children said, that was so sad. And all of God's children said,
amen.
Thank you. That was much better. Good. One step behind, Patrick. So earlier, just a few minutes ago, I said to you that music isn't the only way to get into the presence of God. It's just one of my favorite ways. And the story is that there are a bunch of different ways to do that. You can worship in spirit and in truth, but in a whole variety of ways. You could literally just be reading your Bible and worshiping God. You could be doing a bunch of different things and worshiping God. But one of the things that has to happen is you have to recognize you're thirsty. You see, I was running across the bridge on a 100-degree day, and I was out of water. And I was, as you might imagine, sweating profusely. And every step that I took, my mouth became more dry. And I became very, very thirsty. And I'm looking over the edge of this bridge, and it's 150 feet to the water, but I'm still seeing the water running below. And I'm thinking, that is such a tease. It's a giant river, and I couldn't be thirstier. So I kept running and running, and literally I ran down and around this little loop. And then I had to run uphill. Anybody ever run uphill when you're tired and thirsty? Oh, Jesus, help us, right? There's nothing worse. But finally I came to the place where there was a giant willow tree. And I remember thinking, oh, Lord, if I could only just be in the shade, at least that would be some comfort. So I ran into the shade, and I felt a bit better, and I kept running and running and running until I was in a really nice park, beautiful park, green grass, really nice flowers and trees and things, all the things you could imagine a park would have, birds chirping and the whole bit. And I ran up the hill, and I ran into the bathroom, and I'm thinking, at least there's a sink. I know there's a sink. So maybe you've been to this place where you're so thirsty and you have a water bottle and you're thinking, I will just drink from the sink. I don't care if it sounds like Dr. Seuss. I'm going to do it anyway. And so I push down on the little nozzle thing that's supposed to release the water from the sink. Can you guess what happened? Nothing. Curse you! May you never release water again, I said. No, I'm just teasing. I didn't say that. But I was thirsty. And so I left that place and I went on down the trail. Now, God is good, right? I mean, God is good. So I was able to make it without passing out. I didn't get heat stroke or any of those kinds of things. And I found my way to another bathroom where the water was flowing. And there was a drinking fountain there, and I stopped, and I gulped and gulped. And as you can imagine, gulped and gulped. And, you know, there are little kids in line behind me. I don't care. I'm gulping and gulping and gulping. Right? There's a 7-year-old pulling on his mom's dress. How come he's still drinking? You know, that kind of thing. But eventually, I found water. And not only was I able to then quench my own thirst, but then I also filled my water bottle, and then I hit the trail again. And it wasn't 3 more miles, and there was another place to stop. And so I had emptied my water bottle by then again already. And so I stopped, and I got water. You see, there's nothing like really being thirsty to help you understand what was going on in this passage. Jesus had been traveling, and traveling meant walking, and walking meant dust and dirt because they didn't have pavement. They had dirt. Maybe you've heard of it. It's the stuff where whatever's growing is beaten down, and all that's left is the bare, naked soil there, and it's even beaten down until it's just hard. And what they had was dirt. And when they walked, it was very natural for the dirt to drift up. And you begin to breathe this dirt kind of stuff in. And Jesus is thirsty. And he has this conversation with this woman. And he's thirsty. And yet, watch what happens. Verse 20. Our fathers worshipped on the mountain, but you Jews claim the place. Wait. No, let's back up a bit. Verse 10, Jesus is thirsty, and he's talking to this woman about water. And Jesus answers her, if you knew the gift God, the gift of God, and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. All of a sudden, I get this sense that Jesus isn't talking about H2O anymore. Do you get that sense? Like maybe all of a sudden, Jesus just shifted. He's talking about this whole other thing now. Jesus, who is thirsty, he's been sitting there thirsty, talking for a while, which makes you more thirsty. And he's still thirsty. And this woman who has a pail in her hand could draw water up from the well and give it to him. But instead of having that conversation like, okay, look, woman, I know you're a different culture than me, and I know that you're a woman and I'm a man and I know all those things, but I'm thirsty, so give me a drink. No, that's not what Jesus does. He takes the opportunity where the conversation's about water, and he shifts it. And he talks about being thirsty in your spirit. Here's the thing. Some of you are thirsty, you just don't know it. You're thirsty and you don't know it. And maybe you're not thirsty, maybe it's your friends that are thirsty. But there's only one way to get the living water. And this woman has accidentally come upon it. You see, you have to have a conversation with Jesus. He's the only way to get living water. So there's two kinds of living water. The first is just plain old salvation. Say it out loud with me. 1, 2, 3. Salvation. Like 4 of you said it. That's okay. We'll move on. The idea is that once you are saved, your spirit is quenched. And some of you know, because you have been recently saved. You remember a time when your spirit was thirsty. No matter what you did, you couldn't satisfy this part in you. You can't explain it. You can't describe it. You don't really know what it is. You just know that part of you is empty. And you're thirsty for something. And there may be some of you in here right now that are still thirsty for something. You're thirsty for living water. So before this is all said and done, I'm going to teach you how to quench your thirst tonight. But there's this other segment of this living water that isn't about salvation. It's about relation. You see, Jesus Christ, he wants to have a relationship with you. Watch what he says, verse 23. We'll back up to 22. Jesus says, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet, in verse 23, a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. I was having a conversation earlier this evening with some guys up in this room over here, and we were talking about how the world beats you down. If you go to school, all swirling around you, people are cussing, they're cursing, they're telling lewd jokes, they're talking about stories that you ought not hear about, they're talking about inappropriate sexual relationships, they're talking about partying, they're talking about drugs and alcohol, all the time this is going on in public schools. And I was talking to some guys earlier about how even if you're in a sports team, or you're just in a locker room, or even if you're just walking between classes, you're walking down the hall, people are always just pounding on you and pounding on you. Dude, you're not a real man if you don't use the F word 5,000 times in a sentence. And they don't say it like that. They just call you names when you don't do it. They don't say you're not this. They just call you that name. You're such a... Oh, look at Miss Goody Two-Shoes. I don't even know if they use that phrase anymore, but that's what it used to be once upon a time. They call you a Goody Two-Shoes, which meant you're too special to use these kind of words, to hang out with these people, to do these things. If you haven't had sex with at least four boys by the time you're a sophomore, then you're just a... You guys know the words. This life pounds on you and pounds on you and pounds on you. Constantly, Satan is trying to drive a wedge between you and Jesus. And if you are not consistently going back to the source, you begin to get thirsty again. You begin to get thirsty again. You see, even though I had gotten water while I was running, it's a hot day. 100 degrees is hot. And almost immediately, I was thirsty again. Being alive in this world today, it's hot. And you will get thirsty again. And this is what Jesus said. When you're thirsty, come to me and ask me for living water. And this is how you do it. Worship in spirit and truth. Oftentimes we think about worship. Worship is music. Music is worship. It's simple, right? The guy, the band, who's really good, by the way, they were great tonight. Weren't they good? Yeah, they were really good tonight. The band, you guys can quit golf clapping now. Lord have mercy. The band is really good, and they're playing worship music. But by the way, music has nothing to do with worship. It's the lyrics that you sing that are worship. And worship has nothing to do with music. But we use music because it draws our spirit in. It draws our soul in. It brings us to the place where we're connecting with God. Plus, it's a good way to memorize stuff. It's a good way to memorize stuff. In fact, I don't even remember. I was talking to somebody years ago. And one of those religious people that knocks on people's doors, I'm not going to say which one, but there was a religious person that knocked on somebody's door and they were all trying to convert the person on the other side of the door. And rather than argue with that person, this friend of mine started singing lyrics in their head. I believe in Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he died and rose again. I believe he paid for us all. I believe he is here now, standing in our midst. Here with the power to heal now and the grace to forgive. Now, you may have never heard those words before, but for me, they're ingrained in my spirit. Why? Because I sang that as a song over and over and over and over. And you guys do this too with your songs. The songs that you listen to, they ingrain in your brain because you listen to them over and over and over and over. And we talk about this a lot at Refuge, but what is it that you're writing on your memory? What words are repeating in your mind? Are they drawing you closer to Jesus, or are they driving a wedge between you and Jesus? Because it's a good way to memorize. So, worship in spirit and truth. That's what Jesus said in verse 24. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. So what does that mean? And how do we do it? You see, I want the living water. I don't want to be thirsty. I want my thirst to be quenched. I want the water to be a wellspring that comes out of me and pours off into others. I want when other people are thirsty, they come and seek me out and they hang out with me because they're thirsty. And they know if they hang out with me even, their thirst will be quenched. A wellspring of living water. And the only way to do that is to connect with the river. Is to have a connection with Jesus Christ. It's the only way. In a little bit, I'm going to ask Bill to come back up. And we're going to sing another song. Not yet. But we're not going to sing another song because singing connects you with Jesus. We're going to sing another psalm because I want to give you guys the opportunity to practice what I'm preaching. Don't worry, I already practice it. If it wasn't true for me, I wouldn't give it to you. But here's the thing, in spirit and in truth, there's two things going on. So look at me, focus with me. I'm only going to preach for just a few more minutes. So put up two fingers. Two fingers, in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. Thing number one is in spirit. And there's only one spirit worth connecting to. That's the Holy Spirit. You see, God is three parts. He is Father, he is Son, and he is Holy Spirit. The only part that's here with us now is the third part of God, the Holy Spirit. Connecting with the Holy Spirit means very simply saying, in your mind, in your heart, even out loud, Lord, connect with me. In fact, let's try this right now. Bow your heads and close your eyes. Everybody, just silently, right where you're at, and just in your mind, reach out to the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, connect with me right now. Thank you, Jesus. Right now, all across this place, people are worshiping. This might be the first time you've ever stopped to do this. Okay, look at me. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. You can do that in the middle of your math test. You can do that while you're getting dressed in the morning. You can do that in the car on the way home. Lord, connect with me. The Holy Spirit is right there. He's right there. He's always right there. I used to make it a practice, and I'll just share something that might be embarrassing if it were anybody but me. I'm not embarrassed. I used to make it a practice when I get in the car and I drive into the church. It's about a 10-minute drive from my house to here. And I turn off the radio, and I just talk out loud to the Holy Spirit. I just pretend like he was sitting in the passenger seat. Morning, God. I'm glad you're here. I don't know what I'd do if you weren't here. Help me today, because I don't feel very good. And I know that you've got a word for your children, and you want me to say it. So help me. And sometimes I just drive along in silence. And he might begin to put ideas in my mind, pictures in my mind's eye, bring up passages of scripture. And he speaks to me and I speak to him. I think that students are afraid of having conversations with God because they think it's going to be weird. So let me just share something with you real quiet. It's a secret, though. Okay, so don't tell anybody. It is weird. It's weird talking to God. At least until you get used to it, it's weird talking to God. You're like, okay, God, I don't know if you're listening because it's just me. But if you are, here I am. And I want to connect with you because I know if I don't connect with you, I'm going to be thirsty today. I'm going to be thirsty today. I need to connect with you so that I'm full of living water. I want to connect with you today. That's worship, just in case you were wondering. So in spirit and in truth. The second part of this is the part I think that sometimes we get messed up. In spirit and in truth. And I'm going to tell you a long story to tell a short story. There's a group called Campus Crusade for Christ. And they produce a whole bunch of material, and they do things on campuses. And so they're college aimed. But they came up with this diagram to help new believers to understand what it meant to believe. And there are three parts. And so they used a train to do these three parts. And the first part of the train is the engine. And the second part of the train is the coal car. Do you guys know what a coal car is? Okay, good. And the third part is the caboose. It's a short train. Short train. First part of the train, the word is faith. For without faith, it is impossible to please God, the Bible says. In order to get your train rolling, you got to have faith. But the second part is facts. You see, we have to have an understanding, an intellectual understanding of a few things. Number one, God's real. And he's in three parts, and we need to know this. We need to have an intellectual understanding. Without God, his son Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, we're lost. We're destined. It's all for naught. There's nothing going on here. And you have to really have some understanding about who Jesus is, right? Jesus is fully man. He came, he lived, he bled, he ate, he drank, he hung out with people, he walked on water, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, and then he died. You have to know that. There's an intellectual understanding that has to occur. Faith and facts have to work together for your train to get down the tracks. The third part is feeling. Feeling. Do, 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 do. Ba, 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 ba. Right? You have to have feeling. No. The third part is the caboose. And without the caboose, the train still rolls. Because you have an engine and you have fuel. You can still have movement. But feeling is the third part. And the third part's pretty important. But it's not essential. You can have a train without it. Feeling is nice. It's helpful. It's good when you feel. God gave us feelings on purpose. When we worship, oftentimes it brings about feeling. You feel his presence. You feel complete. You feel healing taking place in your life. Sometimes for some of you, for all of us, let me make this more clear. All of us feel conviction. We're worshiping and God's bringing to mind some sin we have in our life that we haven't confessed. Feeling is important. And this is also part of worship. But it says in spirit and in truth, Jesus said. In spirit and in truth. The second part of this is the truth part. The truth part. If you want to be tapped into the living water, if you want to be a wellspring overflowing, if you are thirsty, worship in spirit and in truth. In spirit, you're connecting. You're saying, Holy Spirit, I know you're there, and I know you want to connect with me, and I'm here, and I want to connect with you. The second part is in truth. And this is the part that we sometimes mess up, and I'll tell you why. Because we're more busy rubbernecking than we are talking to God. For some of you, this is the only time you connect with God in your week. Monday is so busy because I have school and this is going on and that's going on. Tuesday, I've got all these other things. Maybe I volunteer, I go here, I do that. I've got sports, I've got all these other things. I get home, I'm tired, talk to my parents, they yell at me. I have to do my homework, I get my homework done. Then I'm online chatting with my friends or whatever until bedtime, and then I go to bed and I don't even really realize that God's there. Because this is our lives. They're so crazy. We're so busy. We're going so fast, we don't even stop. 100 miles an hour, blasting through life. Truth. Truth means you are God and I am not. Ooh, trying to say that one out loud. Did you guys catch that? The truth is you are God and I am not. That's part of worship and it's truth. You see, it's all well and good to talk about Jesus and to have a spiritual connection with him, but we also have to recognize the true parts of what goes on here. He is God, we are not. He has a great plan for us. Our plan for us is usually stupid. No, it's always stupid. I just wanted to think about that for a minute. The truth parts of worship. And we're so busy looking around. I wonder what so-and-so said. Did you hear that that couple broke up? Dear Jesus, have mercy. This teacher is such a blankety blank. We're so busy talking about and thinking about and sharing with other people about the things going on, we don't worship in truth. You are God, and I am not. Here's my challenge to you guys. I'm almost done, literally. I'm like a minute from done. Bill, truth means this. In truth, I want to connect with God. Can you guys say that honestly? In truth. My desire is to connect with God. The truth is, I'm thirsty. That means you have to quit looking at your neighbor. You have to quit chit-chatting with each other. You have to quit worrying more about what the other person next to you thinks than you worry about what God thinks. Truth. In spirit. And in truth. So here we're going to have an opportunity to worship. And the worship team is going to play a song. And I want you to worship in truth. And maybe truth for you is going to the altar and kneeling here before a holy God and saying, for the first time in my life, I'm really going to worship you. I'm not going to worry about a song. I'm not going to worry about what my neighbor thinks or if I'm singing too loud or too quiet or off pitch or if I get the words wrong. I'm actually here to worship. So whatever you do now, you're communicating to God what you believe the truth is about him. If he's really God, then you better really worship. But if you're really God, then feel free to do it however you want. Because you just have to answer to yourself if you're God. Why don't you go ahead and play?